This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And good morning, by the way. And I am joined this morning here on our Smart Garden Show by Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, good morning to you.
Oh, Denny, good morning. I can't believe it's August or October 26th. It seems like August, doesn't it, with this mild weather?
Yeah, and it's it is rather confusing, and I'm not sure if the other shoe is going to drop. We know it will drop somehow, sometime. But I'm looking at a high today with almost 60, and I'm thinking to ask you, and I tried to do this the other day with my boxwoods and a relatively, you know, year-old Japanese yew. We should really, if we can, be watering like crazy these plants, right?
Yes, that's right. Now, fortunately, some of us got rain. I had a half an inch in the rain gauge.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So what day was that? Thursday evening.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was thrilled with that. So that did help. But, you know, an inch of rain is what we – one inch a week is ideal for gardeners. So we are far from that. So, yes, anything that's newly planted this year, definitely think about watering that. Anything that's in drier conditions or that maybe you planted last year, we had a great growing season up until the end of August with the moisture that came. So that was really helpful. But going into the winter, when the winter is, believe it or not, it is our low moisture season. So even though we get some snow, it's nowhere near as much precipitation as we get during the growing season. So traditionally, we get less moisture, and of course, then the ground freezes. So if it is not a nice, adequate moisture, what Mark Seely calls recharged soil moisture, and we go through the winter, that's extremely difficult for plants. So dry soil that's cold, really tough for the roots. So, yeah, watering is definitely something to think about.
And if this forecast I'm looking at, Mary, looks is true, we start having showers Tuesday night, again Wednesday, and again on Thursday, 30, 40, and 50% chance of showers. So we might be in luck again this coming week. Let's hope so.
Hopefully, anyway. Yeah.
And as far as watering goes, as I recall, you and your colleagues reminding us if we can still water, to do it when? Like up until the ground freezes? Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's right, up until the ground freezes. So we're looking like, with the weather and so on, we're looking like we'll have a few more weeks of that. We have some great information on watering, especially if you're watering trees, at the extension.umn.edu website. And, you know, some of these days have been so dry with the air temperature and low humidity.
Yes.
That air sprinklers up in the air tend to lose a lot of that water before it gets to the ground. So actually putting your hose on the ground or using a bucket or a nozzle that just goes right into the ground and doesn't move around in the air is actually a really good way to water.
In fact, it may have been the first time in a long time. I was just looking at the other. I went out to check on my bird bath, and it was bone dry. I thought, wait,
yes,
a minute, I just put water in there. So maybe some squirrels were in there splashing around. I'm not sure. Again, let's hear from you if you have any lawn or garden question. You know how busy we tend to get in this hour. 651-461-9226. Mary, here's a text came in a bit ago. It says, is it too late to split and move peonies if I do it today?
If you do it today, you probably could get by with it. But again, make sure that you water them well. Peonies are one plant that does like to be moved in the fall. So it's much rather you move it in the fall than in the spring. It goes into kind of a dormant state in the fall. The peony roots are really big. This is like moving almost like a sweet potato because the roots are big. But yeah, I would, if you really want to and you do it today, certainly the ground is still quite warm, and then just make sure you water it well. We'd like to have a month of good growing conditions. I doubt if there'll be a month still, but a couple weeks probably.
Very good. Another listener says this: I have an elm tree that was planted on the boulevard. Has this tree been developed to not produce the enormous amount of seeds that I've seen from elm trees, so I don't end up with seedlings growing everywhere? What do you think?
You know, I don't know. Any newly planted elm is going to be one that is disease resistant for the Dutch elm disease. And we have a number of those. The St. Croix elm was one that was discovered right here in the St. Croix River Valley. But as far as setting seeds, I really don't know. I'd have to look that up. But I think it's very likely it probably will set seed. So, but elms are a wonderful tree, and the disease-resistant ones, I have planted that in my own yard. Amazingly quick growing, but a wonderful tree for our climate because they are drought-tolerant and nice fall color. Yeah, so I still recommend planting elms, but the disease-resistant ones.
Very good. Let's take a phone call this morning, Mary. Chris is checking in from Roseville, I believe, this morning. Good morning, Chris. What is your question for Mary?
Yeah, Oscar, boxwood issue. I like buying the boxwoods in the fall when they get really inexpensive, but I don't have time to plant them. What's the best way to overwinter a 5-gallon boxwood?
Well, you have to put it somewhere where the container, the bottom of the container where the roots are, is not going to freeze. So if you have an area that gets to 40, 45, maybe a garage that's like partially heated, that can work. You will still need to water it, though. Commercial growers will cover the whole thing up. They have a big system of covering and leaving the plants in the field, but that's with a huge amount of protection. So cool, but not freezing for the roots.
Okay. We're talking about watering, and a texter wants to know, do I water bulbs also like that?
Yes, I would do that. If you haven't planted your tulip bulbs, daffodils, and so on, you could still go ahead and do that. And yes, it is a really good idea to water them in. Their root growth will happen this fall. And then you see the blooms, of course, in the springtime. But yes, you go ahead and water those in.
Okay. Tell you what let's do. Let's take a quick break and be right back with more texts and phone calls. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. If you're just joining us, Mary Meyer from the U of M joining us and answering those questions this morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Mary Meyer from the U of M is answering your questions today via text or phone, 651-461-9226. Mary, we should talk a little bit about what's going on at the Arboretum. We always like to bring that to get some spotlight there. Lots going on.
Lots going on. The Arboretum is so beautiful with the fall color. The ginkgos are starting to turn yellow. The oaks, sumac, chrysanthemums, the grass collection where I've spent a lot of time there. It looks really nice this fall. The larch, also really beautiful with fall color. And of course, the apple house is open with tons of Minnesota apples for sale and squash, pumpkins, honey, maple syrup. So the apple house is open to anybody from 9 to 5. You can drive there and get some apples and squash. The Arboretum is reservations, and I looked this morning, all hours, half hours are open, so there's plenty of spots to go reserve your spot at the Arboretum. So great place. Now there's just a couple more weeks until the scarecrows will be gone soon. I think the scarecrows go through this next weekend, this weekend and next weekend for the Scarecrows. But then after that, there's the Holiday Boutique at the Apple House and Winter Lights. Many of our listeners probably have seen the beautiful light display at the Arboretum. Those tickets are on sale now, so you can think about what company is coming for the holidays or taking your family to see the lights at the Arboretum.
Yeah, absolutely. And this weekend's weather is going to be perfect for a head.
Yes,
for
a walk outside. Yeah. That's right.
Mary, a texter says, we move south in the winter, so we don't have a chance to prune our apple tree. Could we just snip off the water sprouts before we leave in early November? What do you think of that?
Well, fall pruning is not usually a good idea for the fruit trees. We like to do that when the plant is really totally dormant in late winter or early spring. So I would say, depending on when you come back, I would try to do it the first thing when you come back in the spring. The water sprouts, those are really, a strong vertical growth that will come up usually in the inside of a tree. And with a fruit tree like an apple, you want to have best sun exposure for all the limbs. So you want the light to be able to get in there. And those vertical water sprouts are really, they just get in the way. They're too much.
Good morning. Texture says, is there still some time to plant spring blooming bulbs, crocuses, daffodils, etc.? And what is the proper way to plant them? Should I put blood meal or something in the hole with the bulb?
You should plant those as soon as possible. And really, listeners, think about this. Do you have your bulb sitting in a bag in your garage waiting to be planted? Because now in January, Denny, we're going to get calls from people that say, I just found a bag of bulbs in my garage. What am I going to do? So think about this. Did you buy some and now you've forgotten them? So they should be planted as soon as possible. If you have some additional fertilizer, you can use that, but many of our soils are really adequate in nutrients, and nutrients usually aren't a limiting factor. That can be the case after years of growth in one place with some of the bulbs, but for the first year, if you don't have any, I'd say it's more important to just get them in the ground now.
Okay. Listener says, I thought elderberry looked cool, but it's popping up everywhere now. How do I control it?
Yeah, elderberry is one of our native plants, and this is a great plant for birds. Birds love this because they get to eat the fruits on this. I actually have a couple elderberries I've left in my yard because they're attractive and they grow quickly. You just have to cut them off at the base or pull them out as much as you can. But there again, it's the seeds that propagate them. But I would, they're easy to control, really.
All right. This listener has canna seeds. Will those grow next year, do you think?
Okay, so they've got seeds that I think that they didn't plant this year. They're thinking about. Well, it's a risk. Each year, seed viability goes down. Some plants have a higher viability of seed, while others it drops off very quickly. So, maybe worth a try. You could try that. I have never grown cannas from seed. They're usually grown from the bulbs or the rhizomes, but I don't know. It's a risk.
How can I keep English ivy from coming back? I clipped off a ton of vines but can't get to all the roots. They're coming in everywhere.
Yeah, English ivy. So I think this is probably what most true English ivy, Hedera helix, doesn't live outside in the winter for us. But the Parthenocissus, the Boston ivy or Engelmann ivy, that does. And that is a tenacious plant. Pulling out the roots. Again, this is a native plant that does have berries that birds like, but it's very, very persistent. So I would say the easiest thing is finding the roots and pulling the roots out as much as possible. And yes, this is an ongoing thing, but it is a native plant with some attributes. So not as bad as some of our more invasive things like buckthorn.
Okay. This listener sent a text saying, my lilacs had the problem with the leaves curling, turned brown, falling off in September. The last couple of weeks, new leaves have popped up. Were these leaf buds for next spring? And are the lilacs going to have leaves next year? Or do you think die off?
Yeah, I really worry about the lilacs. I think that this is one plant that is, we're seeing the effects of climate change because the weather conditions are just so different with drier, hotter extremes. And lilacs like our cool growing conditions. They like growing in the north with our traditional climate, and it's been tough for them. So to see them put out two sets of leaves, two sets of flowers in a year, this is a really stressed plant. So watering them, doing some pruning, especially on older plants that have a lot of dead or a lot too many stems in, you could do some pruning to improve the air circulation. But I think it's going to be very tough for a lot of our lilacs to continue to grow with the stressful conditions.
Okay. This listener says, I'm planning to add more native flowers and some grasses to our yard next year. I have collected some seeds for this. When I start these inside, should I use soil from our garden or a type of potting note plant starting soil? And when will I want to have the plugs that I hope
plant outside?
Jumped around. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think this is great. I think that saving the seed, collecting the seed, especially when it's, you know what the plants are and they're locally adapted, I think that's great. You probably don't need to do this, start the seed, until you get into January or February. And many of these native plants, they need a cold treatment. So if you keep the seed in your refrigerator or keep it in the garage where it's going to be 40 degrees or so, 6 weeks is often enough of a cold treatment. But as far as the soil to use, I would use a commercial potting soil. Garden soil is usually too heavy and dense, and so you want something lighter. So a commercial potting soil, and you can find some are labeled for seed germination, so they're going to be fine textured. And then, yeah, in January, you could start January or February. Many times these things will take, the native seed will take 2 or 3 weeks to germinate, and they'll grow slowly. But yes, good luck with that. You should also check the extension.umn.edu website because that has some great tips for starting seeds.
All right, very good. Here's a question I was hoping somebody would ask. When should I start dormant seeding?
Oh, dormant seeding for the lawn. Yes. This is interesting. We've had some great years for dormant seeding, and you put down this seed when you know it's too cold for it to germinate. So I think you could do this now. I don't think we're going to have enough warm conditions for anything to germinate now. But normally we think about doing it in November and just before snowfall. So you put down the seed. If you have any kind of a slope, it's nice to use some type of a mulch, like a clean straw mulch, so that it will not wash away. But the idea is you get the seed down early, then it goes through the winter, and it's early to germinate in the springtime. Again, so there's a lot of good information on the extension.umn.edu website on dormant seeding.
Great website, extension.umn.edu. Check it out for sure. This listener, Mary, has some sumac. What's the best way to permanently remove it without the risk of returning it?
Oh, sumac. This is another one of our natives with a very strong clonal root system. So this can just shoot up from the ground from one plant and you'll get numerous sumac. So you can repeatedly cut this off just with pruners, or you can use a chemical treatment. So the chemical treatment would be applied on the stem as you cut it off. But here again, that it's really late to be using any type of a herbicide in the winter time. You do have a better chance of this when you're painting it on a stump than when you're hoping for green active tissue. There's not a lot of green active tissue now. Most plants are shutting down. The chlorophyll is gone. And so you could try some chemical application on the stems themselves. So this would be triclopyr or glyphosate, which is Roundup. That chemicals on the stem will kill it, but repeatedly cutting it back will work too.
All right, very good. Mary, let's take a quick break. We have more show to come here on our Smart Garden Show. 651-461-9226. Here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO. We still have time for your questions and phone calls and text messages. Let's grab a phone call this morning. Dennis, Mary is calling in from Hastings, I believe, this morning. Dennis, thanks for waiting. I appreciate your patience. What is your question?
My question is, raspberries, do you cut them down in a fall or spring, or what do I do? What's best?
Yeah, so pruning on raspberries. So if you have the traditional raspberries that had one long cane that had lots of fruit on it, that once that cane fruits, you can cut that off because that won't fruit again. But if you have the ever-bearing ones, they will, that those you thin out at the base and then cut back by a third. So it depends a lot on which kind you have, Dennis. But if you're not sure, I would look over them closely. You can tell the big old canes and see where they had the flowers and the fruits on. The big old canes you can cut out. And if that's all you do this fall, that's fine because the rest of the canes will come back in the spring.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it. This listener says this via text, bringing in our hibiscus trees in pots. Any bug control suggestions? Also, I have plants I have reported that I think the potted soil mix had bugs. So any bug control suggestions as they bring these plants in?
Yes, you really want to inspect your houseplants, and they really need to be coming in now because unless you've got an enclosed porch or something, yeah, they're cold. They don't like below 40. Below 40 can be deadly and sometimes even below 50. But a really good inspection, sometimes you can wash these off with a spray of water. We'll get a lot of the insects off. Hibiscus might have white flies. It might have aphids on it. So washing them off with water is really good. As far as in the soil, it's possible, and you might have fungus gnats in the soil that could come in, and you'll see them in the house. Insecticidal soaps are good for those. And also, if you can apply a top layer of sand, a light layer of sand on top of your houseplants that have fungus gnats, they don't like that coarse material. So that is another control means.
Okay. This texter says, I have a yew, didn't say what kind, has a lot of dead branches down low next to the trunk of the bush. If trimmed, will I get any new growth? Also, when's the best time to do it? Trim.
As long as the yew is dormant, which it's really getting to, you can do that. I go out and prune my evergreens and use those cut stems for containers, the containers in front of my house. As to whether or not they will come back again, it really depends on how healthy that plant is. It might resprout, but if they're the dead underneath ones, where are there other ones growing up on top, it's unlikely if it's real shady down there that they will sprout from the base. They're more likely to sprout from the top. And Denny, speaking of pruning,
yeah.
I looked up the, I was talking about the chemical treatment for sumac and cutting
yes.
the stumps. So, this is kind of the opposite of treating with Creeping Charlie. I was talking about, well, you can't use that chemical because it's too cold now, etc. But when you do that cut stump method, that's really different because the plants still have the fluid is going down in the plant. The liquid is going down into the roots for the winter. And so the fall is really an ideal time to treat cut stumps. So in the springtime, the xylem flow, the water is going up in the plant, and that's where we see the sap run and so on in the spring. But in the fall, it's the opposite. So the uptake of chemicals with a cut stump method works really well in the fall. And usually it's not so much regulated by temperature, but, you know, you wouldn't want to go out when it's freezing and do this. But days like this weekend for buckthorn or sumac or other things, you can use that cut stump method, and that's it will work.
Oh, good. I'm glad you did a little homework there, a little research. That's good. A text, I know we're almost out of time. Let's see how many folks we can help. My landscaping is rock versus mulch. If I plant daffodils and tulips, will they be able to come up through those rocks?
Well, not as easily if the rocks weren't there. But if you can move the rocks around so you can get the bulb in, then that will help. However, if you've got landscape fabric under the rocks, that's going to be much harder. You'll have a hard time digging out the landscape fabric. But if you leave a spot, it can work. Yep.
Okay. Bleeding hearts growing from the base again. Alpine currant budding. Will these be okay next year?
Hopefully they will. Yes, I have not seen that, but bleeding hearts usually go completely dormant in the summertime, die back to the ground, and then they'll come back. Yes, hopefully they'll be. Both these plants will be fine as long as they're a healthy plant to begin with.
This listener says we got asparagus roots this spring, but did not get them planted. Can we hold them over to next spring, or are they lost?
I think they're probably lost at this point. If they were mine, I guess I would try to evaluate how shriveled and dried up are they. Maybe I'd try cutting them with pruners and see if they look like there's any life to them. They might be totally dried up at this point.
Okay. This listener used weed killer to kill Creeping Charlie. They did that last week. Is it still okay, is their question, to dormant seed now? What would you think, a couple of weeks maybe?
Yeah, so they're thinking about dormant seeding in the same area they had the Creeping Charlie, I think. Yeah, so the chemical you use on the Creeping Charlie is not going to affect the seed germination. So two totally different things. So, yes, you could go ahead and seed there.
Oh, that's good. Good news. Yeah. When to plant harvested seed heads from large brown-eyed Susans?
I would not plant those until February or March next year. Again, you can keep the seed in a dry place, maybe in a jar or in a paper bag, but if you keep it in a cool location, 40 degrees, like a garage or the refrigerator, and then after it's six, 8 weeks in the cold treatment, then you can think about planting it in the spring. But that should germinate quite easily.
Okay. A couple of minutes to go on the show. Mary, this listener is thinking of growing some chestnuts. Will they grow here in Minnesota? And what type of chestnut tree would you recommend? Where could someone buy them? And the best time to plant them? What do you think of all those questions?
Well, they're kind of two chestnuts. So there's the horse chestnut. That's an Aeschylus. And that definitely grows in Minnesota. I have a couple of those in my yard. And that's the chestnut, that's the buckeye, that's Ohio State's tree. So that's horse chestnut. And then there's the other chestnut, that's the caria. That's, like the hickory chestnuts. Those are not as hardy, but some of them are. And we have some of those at the Arboretum. So they're worth a try. There are a lot of chestnuts, hickories that are not as hardy in Minnesota because they're more Missouri native. But it's worth a try. Now, the other thing at the Arboretum is we have a plant map where you can look up any plant that's at the Arboretum, and it shows you on the map exactly where it is. So you could put chestnut in that map, and it will come up with a lot of different plants. So you could actually see where they are at the Arboretum.
What a nice, great idea, as usual. Yeah, get to the Arboretum. It's a great weekend to do that, or this coming week as well. Mary, we are plumb out of time, and always a pleasure to have you on CCO Radio. Let's do this again.
My pleasure, Denny. So much fun to talk about gardening.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.